Hello students, welcome once again to the V-lecture series on strategic management. We have successfully completed the strategic management process, the various components within the strategic management process in the last few chapters. We started with understanding the fundamentals of strategic management process. We did go through in detail about the industry analysis and competition analysis. We had also seen the external environment, the different external environment factors that will impact the strategic management process. Post that, we wanted to understand what an organization's vision and mission, strategic objectives and goals are. Subsequent to that, we had actually jumped into strategic, what are the different levels of strategy? Corporate level strategy, business unit level strategy, and functional unit level strategy. After seeing the three levels of strategy, we have seen a chapter on strategic formulation process, how to use the SWOT analysis tools to arrive at the strategic formulation and strategic alternatives, and then we have seen a strategic implementation process. Strategic implementation process, which will help the organization in terms of successfully achieving its financial performance. We have also seen strategic evaluation and control, which is the last component of the strategic management process, in terms of how it will help the organization in terms of achieving its the set goals in terms of the standards and benchmarks. And how do you communicate to all the stakeholders how well the organization is performing in the overall scheme of things? So now, with the strategic management process, well understood, now we are moving into the globalization strategy. Indian organizations are clearly, talking about going global. Many organizations have already, gone global. Post-liberalization of the economy in 1991, the last 2 years have been very eventful for the Indian economy. Many Indian corporates have gone into acquiring global companies. There are many examples that I have talked about in the strategic management book, but we will be seeing some of the case studies in this chapter, how it is affecting the Indian economy, how it is affecting the Indian Indian companies who have become really truly global companies, be it the Tata Group, be it large groups like Aditya Birla Group, or be it the different groups that are telecom companies like Bharti Airtel and Idea, they are all acquiring companies both within India as well as in the global market. So how they are all succeeding, what kind of strategy they have put in place, what are the driving factors which lead them to look at M&A as a strategy in terms of expanding their business, diversifying their business, not only in India or new product lines or services, but also in the foreign geographies, how it is adding to the stakeholder values, that we'll be seeing in this chapter. So this is all about understanding the globalization strategy of a corporate company. What are the different dimensions of global strategy? We'll see that. What are the stages of different stages of, there are five stages we'll talk about, before a company becomes a full-fledged global company, global organization, what are the different steps it can take without impacting its, without impacting its financials, take a step-by-step approach in terms of becoming a global company, understand the challenges and enablers of the globalization process, and how do you create a globalization culture? So this chapter deals with, because it is important in today's context, to incorporate this as part of the strategic management process. This is one of the milestones, one of the cornerstones of strategic management process. That is why I've included that in this particular book. What is globalization strategy? Global strategy is an organization's strategic guide to globalization. What is your strategy? What is your approach to become a global organization in your industry, in your business? So it is very important to understand that from the beginning. Many Indian companies have acquired global organizations. For example, Tata Steel has acquired Corus Steel in the UK. Tata Motors acquired Jaguar and Land Rover in the UK. Bharti Airtel acquired Zain Telecom in Africa. So there are many examples that you can quote. Infosys have acquired, HCL Technologies have acquired, TCS has acquired. You know, many companies in India have acquired, global assets in their pursuit to become global companies. Not only that, the very purpose is to address a broader objective in the international market, because their vision is, to make lives of millions and millions of people, enriching the lives. We have seen that in detail in the vision and the mission and strategy chapter, how they are expanding the vision beyond India. You know, I think that's a good thing to have. It creates a lot of economic wealth for people. It creates social impact within India and outside India. And the whole purpose is to become a global conglomerate, doing multiple businesses in multiple industries and creating a socio-economic impact all across the world. I think Indian brands have come of age. Indian brands are becoming truly global. And they are not they are comparable to the global peers in their respective industries. So having said that, a global strategy may be appropriate in industries where firms are faced with strong pressures of cost reduction, but are faced with weak pressures for local responsiveness in terms of demand for its product and services. So why they want to adopt a globalization strategy? It could be, they are facing with strong pressures of cost reduction, which is beyond a point, it is not possible. Also, they are faced with weak pressures. I want to give an example. Nano product was launched in the year 2000, Tata Nano, I'm talking about, the car. It was positioned as the cheapest car. Actually, it is a smart car. It is not positioned as a, family car or a smart car. So I think, the product didn't become all that successful. So now the product is being rebranded. It is being relaunched in another country. For instance, it is Indonesia. There the Tata Nano is being relaunched as a new product with a completely different positioning, marketing positioning in the market. So once that succeeds, probably the product will come back to India again. So there we had seen weak pressures and local weak responsiveness from the local market, in the Indian market earlier. So obviously it is getting rebranded. Global strategies require a firm to tightly coordinate their product and pricing strategies across the international markets and locations. So how do you globalize your product and pricing strategies across different international markets, and you are still able to customize the products and services for the respective countries that you are serving? Therefore, the firms that pursue a global strategy are typically highly centralized, at the same time bring cultural diversity and creativity as well as best practices and customize the products and services for the respective culture of the individual countries. Firms change from domestic-oriented strategies into a global orientation for numerous reasons. So we'll see why it is changing the strategy from a domestic strategy to a global strategy. Pursuing global markets can reduce the per unit cost and cost by increasing the volume, the scale, because you are addressing a larger market. Indian market may be small for them, but if you address in multiple markets, probably your cost per unit will come down, and by in respective of increasing volume. A global strategy can extend the life cycle of products whose domestic products are declining. So you need to incorporate changes and you need to bring out innovative products, to address the global market. What are the characteristics of global industry? Firms compete in all world markets of that product in order to survive. So obviously, you're introducing a product which is not finding much, take in the local market, and you feel that this product is going to cater to emerging markets or underdeveloped markets. So you produce cars in India or two-wheelers in India, and then you're trying to export to another market. you know, emerging or a developed market, which many companies are doing. Hero Motorcycles is doing, Bajaj Auto is doing, Maruti Suzuki is doing, you know, manufacturing in India and then selling it in other markets. Firms' competitive advantage depends on economies of scale and economies of scope gained across markets because of volumes, increasing volumes. Global markets are international markets where products are largely standardized. So you bring in global benchmarks into your products and then sell in the global markets. Thereby, you become a global company. Types of global industries. Basically, there are two types. One is multi-domestic industries. You create multiple, you compete in different national markets independently of other national markets. So your industry is on its own within a country and independent of the other national geographies. Other one is global industries. The same firms compete with each other everywhere. So it becomes a global industry, right? The borderline becomes much broader, and the products, the mobile market is a globalized industry. You bring Apple phones in India, Samsung phones in India. So with a little customizations to the taste of Indian consumers. So obviously, you bring scale, you bring volume, you bring down your per unit cost of production, and you gain advantage of market leadership in the respective markets. From a global strategy standpoint, what does it mean? You compete everywhere. You compete in most of the potential markets. Appreciating that success demands global presence, standardized products and services, centralized control and distributed execution, integration and coordination of activities across border. So how you are integrating your business units and functional strategies, and coordination of activities across border, effective when difference between countries are small and competition is global. So this is for applicable for products where the difference between countries are small and competition is global. Example, the two-wheeler market that I was talking about, motorbikes that are being exported to a lot of emerging markets and underdeveloped markets in the Africa and Latin America. Multi-domestic industry. Here, the products are tailored to individual customers, individual countries, individual segment of customers, decentralization of decision making, because you create country as a separate organization, because that's how you will succeed in that market. The regulations are different, the government rules and regulations are different, the policies are different. So obviously you need to decentralize the decision making. Decentralization of local sourcing, because resources are available at cheaper rate, or cost-effective, sources are available. So you will try to assemble the product in that particular country rather than, importing the components from the other country. Responding to local needs. So your taste and cultural requirements are different. So obviously you need to customize the product. Extent and nature of globalization. These are all key drivers. One is the market driver, the other one is cost driver. Degree of homogeneity of customer needs, global distribution networks, transferable marketing. So these are all market drivers. Basically, how do you create homogeneity in terms of customer needs, productization, product standardization, global distribution networks, and marketing strategies. Cost drivers, economies of scale, transportation cost, product development cost, economies of scope. So this, you are building large volumes across multiple countries, you are able to build scale, you are able to bring down the unit cost. The next one is government drivers, trade policies, FDI policies, compatible technical standards and privatization. So these are all very important standards each country will have, but you are trying to standardize it. Competitive drivers. Greater the strength of competitive drivers, the greater the tendency for globalization. So if the competitive drivers become more, then your tendency for globalization, because you want to meet the aspirations and expectations of individual markets. So obviously you'll go find strategies, which are competitive enough to build a market for you. What are the different dimensions of global strategy? A global company views world as a single market. In a larger context, in a global industry, which I'm talking about, not the multi-country industry, a global company views world as a single market, thereby you are able to have a completely different value proposition in terms of scale, volume, costing, in terms of market reach, in terms of your market share. Organization would create a synergy by serving multiple markets. You know, you will create synergy, better marketing synergy, by serving multiple markets, but you will formulate unique competitive strategy for each of the specific market. Certain products, you know, you will create for a particular market. For example, KFC in India or McDonald's in India, while the burger remains, the concept remains the same product, but you're customizing it with a lot of Indianized, you know, cuisine into the product line. The different products are, customized for the Indian, consumer's taste. So you're creating a strategy for a specific market in order to succeed. That's how they will succeed, you know. Developing a global business outlook and vision. You're developing a global business outlook and a vision. The Indian companies are already building that, which I said in the beginning. So you're having a global vision beyond India. Forging global alliances to complete in the value chain. So you're having forward vertical integration and backward vertical integration in order to bring together a complete value chain of products and services, and thereby your competitive advantage becomes much more enhanced, and thereby you're achieving your strategy more easily, and then your profitable growth is achieved much better way. What are the attributes of globalization? Let's talk about the different attributes. Strategy and planning to expand business globally. You have to have a clear strategy and planning. Developing a global outlook for business and a clear vision, which we said earlier also. You need to have a clear vision and outlook for global business expansion. Identify global production facilities considering the global dynamics rather than national considerations. Now you'll have a strategy which is beyond your national strategy. So you need to identify countries, you need to identify factories and facilities which are global in nature, which are driven by global dynamics. This would help in optimizing both costs and margins. Baselining product development and production planning on global best practices. So you're bringing in global partners. It could be a technology partner, it could be a marketing partner, it could be any JV partner who brings in his expertise into the country. So you're bringing in global benchmarks back into the country. So you're raising the levels of your standards and practices. So you're bringing best practices out also, market considerations. Tap those global markets where price realization for the products is higher. So you're able to identify markets where your price realization and average productivity becomes more, thereby achieving your end result fast. Global sourcing of raw materials. So you're talking about volume and scale, so you can negotiate better. You can bring in global sourcing of raw materials, technology, have technology partners, raise finance capital at a lower interest rate from Japan and US or Europe compared to only raising the capital within India where the interest rates are higher. Recruit best people for different business lines to maximize the cost and productivity efficiency of the business operations. Global orientation of organization structure, management and culture to manage diversity. How do you manage the diversity? How do you bring in different partnership? How do you get into an organization structure which will support structure and management? You bring in management from outside. You will have expatriates working in the company. They bring in their global experience into the company. Global leadership into the company. So that's how most of the Indian organizations are working today. Forge global strategic alliances to complete the value chain of products and services. So you bring in strategic JVs and partnerships, and you bring in integration of the complete value chain of products and services. Thereby you become market leader. What are the different stages? We talked about how do you reach the ultimate goal of globalization. There are different stages which will take you there to the ultimate step. The first stage is to forge tie-ups with local dealers and distributors. Just a marketing strategy, a distribution strategy. your products are exported from India and to the emerging markets or developed, underdeveloped markets. Thereby, you're reaching, you're having a footprint into that market with the local dealer and distributors. You take over a marketing and distribution company there, and thereby you are establishing your physical presence over there. You begin carrying out own manufacturing and sales and marketing. Now you're setting up a facility to manufacture the product there, and then you have the sales and marketing already there. So thereby you're actually making a substantial presence in that country through a manufacturing facility and sales and marketing operations. Start full-fledged operations and markets, including R&D, engineering, distribution, other than the centralized functions. The functions can be HR, marketing, finance functions can be centralized, but other functions can be over there. Research, you can set up an R&D center, you can have an engineering center, you can have a distribution facility. Company serves the last one, ultimate one, when you truly become global, fully global, is company serves local customers and genuinely moves towards global mode of operation, including functions like HR, finance and supply chain management. So this takes you to the entire value chain of getting globalized completely. You have a global outlook, you have a global vision, and you truly become a global company with cultural, multicultural diversity. Enablers of globalization. Business climate. Let's talk about business climate in each country. The climate needs to be very conducive to facilitate the entry of global companies to set up business operations in the country. You should need to have the infrastructure, the state of infrastructure available in the country, whether it is manufacturing facility or electricity, power, road, transport, airports, seaports for transporting your goods. So you need to have the infrastructure, government support, minimum government support, interference. You cannot afford to have red tapeism, bureaucratic hurdles which will come in the way of setting up your business in that country. So you need to have ease of doing business. You need to have government policies and regulations supporting setting up your business there. Minimum government interference, resources. Important factors that decide the ability of the firm to grow globally. You need to have all the financial resources leadership, management, organizational resources that desire the ability of the firm to grow globally faster and in an easy manner. Competitive advantages. Your product and your business should have a competitive advantage and unique proposition, which we have seen in the earlier chapters. That applies to here also. Competitive advantage of a company is a key factor that determines the success of a company in a global market. Competition. You'll have to face competition from the local companies of that particular country. It helps to improve the company's competitive position. So you need to benchmark it not only within the Indian industry, but also with the global industry there. Integration of world economy. Now, with all the free trade agreements happening between multiple countries at the WTO level, low trade barriers will help reach to have access to the world economy. So all the world economies are integrated, and then the line that is separating the different countries are slowly vanishing day by day. Resistance to change, socioeconomic factors and cultural factors, etc. So you need to look at cultural diversity within different countries. What are the social economic factors, demographic factors, cultural factors that will impact your organization, financial performance in that particular country? So resistance to change and bring about a new culture, it becomes one of the critical factors and drivers. Country's image, stringent government policies and jurisdiction. This becomes a critical thing which we've seen. Policies like FDI, the regulations of the central bank of that particular country, the stock exchange regulations, the market regulations, the industry regulations. So you need to look at all of that holistically in terms of bringing countries, in terms of setting up the business in that particular country. Corporate level growth strategy. So you need to have a corporate level which will be the holding company for the entire the multi-country presence. The growth strategy in the international markets, which include some of the following aspects. You're talking about exports policy, foreign direct investment, joint ventures, mergers and acquisitions. strategic alliances, franchising, and licensing. So these are the different stages that you can talk about. You can have franchising to start with. You can have a strategic alliance to start with. Then the next step could be mergers and acquisitions. Then you can set up joint ventures over there, a direct presence. Then you can bring in direct investment into that country, or you can become a mere exporter. Globalizing of culture. Let's talk about a case study which I have presented in the strategic management book in detail. Is about Tata Steel acquiring Kura Steel. It's a case study. What is the purpose and objectives of acquiring a global company, and how the steel industry is changing the landscape of the global marketplace? Many metals steel will replace many metals in the infrastructure development. So there is a huge market. India and China are competing in terms of this particular industry. Adopting global strategy, it requires a level of cultural change at the end of the day. It is all about integrating two cultures and two big cultures, one Indian culture and one global culture. Then how it really affects, and how you are able to, at the end of the day, create a cultural diversity and you become a globalized organization, serving multiple countries with, Tata Steel acquiring Kura Steel. They have become a fifth largest steel company, or fourth or fifth largest steel company in the world, entire world. So, as we discussed, there are many challenges in globalizing the culture of an organization, because, you are bringing together two different worlds to work together. So, obviously, the structural changes, reorganization of the organizational roles and tasks, there could be technological changes at your factory level, at your distribution level, at your, organization level. So, obviously, these changes will be involved. While making the journey towards cultural integration, but ultimately you'll create a multicultural diversity, diverse organization. What are the mistakes generally people organizations do in terms of pursuing globalization strategy? There are these mistakes could be avoided, but practically let us list down those areas where one need to be careful. One is chasing hot markets, following herd mentality. You need to really have a value proposition and the purpose established before you have a clear strategy of expanding your business in a particular country or any global economy. Misjudging the risks. So you need to have local expertise to understand the challenges and risks, threats available in that particular country. And you have a clear the probability of the risk happening, and then clear mitigation plan about all the risks. So if you don't have those clearly laid out in the beginning, you might land up in unforeseen situations happening. Thereby, it takes a lot of bandwidth of the management to sort out the problems there. So misjudging the risks could be one of the reasons. Cloning business approach. I think you should have your own innovative approach in terms of your marketing strategy or business strategy. Overestimation availability of infrastructure and personnel. We have seen that this is one of the drivers, but if you are overestimating that, then you are factoring in less cost. But what if the infrastructure was not good, then you need to look at other mediums, other areas. You need to look at, for example, transportation. Then you need to look at other transportation methods to transport your raw materials, your end products to the market. Being insensitive to culture. The other organization is very insensitive, or even the parent organization which is acquiring the other company can become insensitive to the culture of the acquired company. So obviously insensitive to culture can become a bottleneck in the expansion, global expansion. Intolerance to ambiguity and uncertainty. Sometimes you have to look at uncertainty and then clearly have plans to address the uncertainty and the risks involved in globalizing your strategy. So I think these are some of the mistakes an organization could commit while making a globalization strategy. So this has been covered in the book in detail. You can go through that. Now we are coming to the end of the chapter, globalization of strategy, which is one of the important things while any organization which is willing to pursue a globalization strategy must look at in terms of how it should go about making such a strategy. In this chapter, we have clearly seen substantial liberalized, we have seen, how the global world is getting liberalized. India is getting liberalized post 1991. Last 20 years, we have seen substantial, activity happening on the globalization front. Liberalization of international trade and investments over a period of time has strengthened the forces of globalization. We have also seen the different stages of organization going through the globalization. First, you go and export and distribute your product there with a local partner. Then you acquire a marketing, sales and marketing company and establish your presence. Third, you set up your manufacturing, set up an R&D center there. Fourth, you bring in your other functions into the company, into that particular country. The fifth one is you are going and acquiring a complementing strategy, a complementing company with all the expertise, and you are able to become a truly global organization. So these are different stages of organization going through globalization. Multiple strategies like exports, foreign investments, JVs, joint ventures, mergers and acquisitions, strategic alliances, franchises, these are the options available for any organization to become global. So it is not one, this is how you need to do. Whatever strategy that fits into your overall organization's global outlook and vision, you should look at. So Indian organizations are stepping ahead of India boundary lines and then going into global outlook and having a global vision, which is a good thing. It is adding a lot of socio-economic impact back in India, and it brings India as a global brand now. And I think we are at a point where there is a lot of foreign companies showing interest in the Indian companies. Indian companies showing a lot of interest in foreign companies in their pursuit of expansion and diversification in their businesses. So, which is a welcome change. So now globalization strategy has become part of any company's overall strategy making process. So that's why I've included this chapter in the strategic management process, the strategic management subject. I hope you have enjoyed this lecture. If you have, you go through the book, and if you have any questions or doubts, please do let me know through vSchool. I'll be more than glad to address them. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your patiently listening to this lecture.